WMFO Medford. Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to The Voice Mobile. I'm your host, Joyce the Voice. Just getting myself situated here. Always some technical stuff going on. Let's see. We'll get the headphones on. We'll try to get this thing to stop. Yep, we'll get that to stop. Okay, good. All right, so it's hot. Yep, it is definitely hot out there, and this is not working. Why isn't this headphone working? It's intermittent. Ah, let's see if I can get... Oh, I see what's going on. It's connected to this one, and that's still not working. Well, maybe I have to find a different set of headphones. I don't know. All right, well, we'll just have to deal without the headphones then. All right, so... Let's see, we have a message to give you. And, wonder why they've got these headphones over here. Oh, I see what's going on. All right. We'll try. Let's see if these are working. Yeah. No. Oh my gosh. So I found a different set of headphones, and they're still not working. That doesn't make any sense. Try again. All right, let's see if... Nope, this one isn't working either. I don't understand this. All right, so... I want to share with you... message. Okay, not impossible. Sometimes it can be tough to get through to your kids, but it's not impossible. Always make sure they're wearing their seatbelts, even on short drives. Never give up until they buckle up. Go to safercar.gov/kids-buckle-up. Brought to you by National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ed Council. Great. All right, so we're going to start off with something from Miniature America. And this is Miles Akasaki. Let's see. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you.
Oh, that certainly was lovely. So that's the Intermezzo Opus 118, number 2 in A major. It's a Brahms composition on a CD called First Kiss, Romantic Piano Music for Love and Passion. And Daniel Pollack is the performer. It's on Four Winds Entertainment label. So I wanted to share with you this massive news. Hamas leader Ismail Haniyeh assassinated in Tehran. Day 299 of the war. In a stunning development, Hamas leader... Now, why is this not working? Let's see what's going on here. Let's see if I can get this to behave. In a stunning development, Hamas leader Ismail Haniyeh was assassinated this morning in Tehran. Haniyeh, along with one of his guards, was killed in a raid on his residence in the Iranian capital. Haniyeh, the political leader of the Hamas terror group, was in Iran for the swearing-in of the new Iranian president, Masoud Pezeshkian. I don't know how to say that. The Gaza-based residence of Haniyeh, previously used as a terrorist infrastructure, was hit by an IDF airstrike in November. Typically residing in Qatar, Haniyeh's Tehran property was a crucial meeting place for Hamas leadership. This significant event has sent shockwaves through the region, raising critical questions about the future leadership of Hamas and the implications for the Israeli-Palestinian conflict. As of now, no one in Israel has commented on the reports, but this is undeniably consequential news. In response, Iran has warned that Israel will be, quote, harshly punished for Haniyeh's killing. Iran's supreme leader, Ayatollah Ali Khomeini, mourned Haniyeh, praising his struggle and vowing revenge against Israel for his death. This assassination marks one of the most major events in recent times, potentially inviting serious escalation in the coming days or even hours. This is from Yoni Gilbo, the director of Zaka Tel Aviv, dedicated search and rescue organization operating in 21 cities across Israel. So, so let's see what Israel 21st Century says. So this is an explainer on Israel's Druze population in the wake of the Hezbollah missile attack that attacked 12 kids. This is what just happened. And the Golan Heights. Who are the Druze in Israel? After a missile fired from Lebanon killed 12 children in a Druze village, we look at Druze history in Israel, their military service, and complex identity. In a shocking incident on July 27th, a Hezbollah missile struck a soccer field in the Druze village of Majal Shams, located in Israel's north, killing 12 children aged between 10 and 16 and injuring 40 others. I mean, you don't really hear much about this in the Western media. A tragic attack on children at play caused widespread international condemnation and has brought renewed attention to the Druze community in Israel, prompting questions about their identity, history, and role in Israeli society. Says the Druze are a unique ethnic and religious Arab-speaking minority group, with about 2 million of them living across the Middle East, primarily in Syria, Lebanon, Israel, and Jordan. Their monotheistic faith, an offshoot of Ismaili Islam that emerged in Egypt in the 11th century, incorporates elements from various religions and philosophies. In Israel, the Druze population numbers approximately 150,000, making up about 1.6% of the country's total population. They are mainly concentrated in the northern regions, including the Galilee and the Golan Heights. The Druze have a complex history in the region and in Israel. Their story is intertwined with the establishment of the state in 1948. In contrast to many Arab communities, the Druze leadership chose to align with the nascent Israeli state, a decision that has shaped their role in Israeli society ever since. The Druze community in Israel is known for its strong patriotism and active participation in various aspects of Israeli life, particularly in military service. Unlike most Arab citizens of Israel, Druze men are subject to mandatory conscription in the Israel Defense Force, the IDF. a shared sense of identity. Druze soldiers have served in the IDF since the 1950s, often in combat units and achieving high ranks. Their participation rate in the military is comparable to that of Jewish Israelis. Their commitment to military service has fostered a sense of shared destiny between the Druze and broader Israeli society. Many Druze have distinguished themselves in various conflicts, including the Six-Day War in 1967, the Yom Kippur War in 1973, and more recent operations, including the ongoing conflict in Gaza against Hamas. The contributions have not been without cost. The community has suffered casualties in these conflicts, further cementing their bond with the state. Druze citizens of Israel also have become accomplished in academia, medicine, politics, science, arts, sports, and business. Challenges and complexities. Well, it goes on a little bit more. It's just a terrible tragedy for these children to have been gunned down like that. I mean, just, this is from Israel 21st Century. It's a wonderful site to find out what's going on. So it's by Zaki Hennessy, July 29th. All right, so we'll get to talk about something more positive, hopefully soon. Let's see, I think we're going to go to something from Neshama Karlbach and her father, HaNeshama Shel Shlomo, and this is the Krakow Nigun.
I die. kel beidel asher mashakta shamatzeva asher nadata li sham neder nadata li sham neder hay ata ku ku sei Seminares, Hares, Azaz Vishub, I Vishub, Eleret Eleret, Maladet Echa Ata Kum, Kum Seminares, Hares, Azaz Vishub
So that was Chaim David Asamach, and it's on a CD called Mitzur Devash on Sameach Music. So Shlomo Karlbach and Neshama Karlbach, oh, I spelled it wrong, and the Krakow Nigun from the release HaNeshama Shel Shlomo on Sojourn Records. And I think that's where we are with all that. Let's see if I can... yes. See if we can get that out of there. Yeah, get that corrected. Okay, so I've been watching some of the Olympics, and of course online you can see a lot of different performances, especially with Simone Biles. She is unbelievable, and some wonderful performances by various folks from different countries. Of course, I've been thrilled to see folks from Israel competing, and I'm saddened to, of course, there are a lot of anti-Israeli things being said at the Olympics. There are some, I don't know what to tell you, there's just some people are just really, you know, want to take every opportunity to make something that should be positive into something negative. Anti-Semitic protesters were chanting Heil Hitler during the Israeli Paraguay soccer match, and they're investigating it. So the French authorities are investigating it, and Nazi salutes. Just really obnoxious. I don't know. I was watching some of the, the parallel bars, and I don't even know what all those events are called, but it's just the level of of competition and of expertise. Just absolutely mind-boggling. If you haven't watched any of it, it's really, it's pretty astounding. All right, let's see. What have we got next? Something from Shlomit and Rebbe Sol off of their CD called The Seal of Solomon.
Baruch Ata Adonai Eloheinu Melech HaOlam Borei Bori HaGafen
HaMavdi Baruch Ata Adonai
אלוהינו מלך העולם בורא מיני בשמים וימיהו אתה אדוני אלוהינו מלך העולם בורא מורה האש וימרו
Thank you.
That was amazing. Moshe Schulhoff doing a Shlomo Carlebach composition arranged by Ofer Sobel. Mikdash Melech from the World Cantors Sing Carlebach. And let's see if I can get this volume right. Okay. And yeah. So the 3 weeks we are now in, this is... It started, according to the Jewish calendar, the Fast of Tammuz was the 23rd of July, or Yud Zion Tammuz. So the 3 weeks go from a week ago Tuesday to the Fast of Tisha B'Av, which comes out on Tuesday, August 13th. And so this is a very challenging, difficult time for the Jewish nation. And I'm going to share something from Patterns Timeless Patterns in Time, Hasidic Insights into the Cycle of the Jewish Year, adapted from the works of the Lubavitcher Rebbe, Rabbi Menachem M. Schneerson Shlita. So, I don't know why this is not doing exactly what I want it to, but that's a little better. Okay, so this is called Revealing Hidden Love, Making the Beis Hamikdash a Reality. A Paradox in Time. The 3 weeks between the 17th of Tammuz and the 9th of Av are referred to by our sages as Bein HaMetzarim, between the straits, and are marked by several customs associated with mourning. As its name implies, this is a difficult period. It commemorates the calamities which occurred between the breaching of the walls surrounding Jerusalem and the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash itself, the Holy Temple. Even in our day, it is considered an unfavorable time for the Jewish people. Despite its tragic associations, this period is characterized by strong, positive spiritual influences. On the temporal plane, this is reflected in the fact that the period of Bein HaMitzarim falls in the summer. Everything that transpires in our material world is a reflection of the corresponding spiritual forces that operate in the higher realms. Moreover, the way any entity functions on the physical plane results from relationships between the spiritual forces, which are the source of all material existence. As such, every tangible entity serves as a material illustration of these forces. For example, the sun is associated with the four-letter divine name Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh, as it is written, "For Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh and Elohim are like the sun and its shield." The name Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh expresses the divine attributes of mercy and revelation. The shining of the sun, especially during the 3 weeks when it is at its most powerful, thus indicates the prevalence of intense godly mercy. Amazing. What God does out of love. The tragic nature of the 3 weeks and its status as a time in which God's mercy is manifest are not mutually exclusive. The inner motivating force of the 3 weeks is God's love. However, genuine love can at times require conduct which appears harsh. When a father chastises his son, it is unpleasant for both son and father, but the father is no doubt motivated only by a deep concern for his son's growth and development. Likewise, cleaning a small child who has soiled himself is not always a comfortable process. For a father to subject an infant to this discomfort requires a very unselfish sort of love, a love powerful enough to outweigh his natural aversion to causing his child pain. This kind of love is the hidden context of the 3 weeks. The positive and overly recognizable aspect of this love will be revealed in the era of the redemption, when all the commemorative fasts will be annulled and will be transformed into holidays and days of rejoicing. At that time, the hidden dimension of God's love will surface and become manifest. Let it come soon. A foretaste of redemption. In our day, we are standing on the threshold of redemption. We are, in fact, in the process of crossing that threshold. The redemption is no longer a distant dream. It is an increasingly manifest reality. Moreover, we can now already savor a foretaste of the redemption and sense the positive dimension of the 3 weeks at present, even though we are still in exile. Although our sages teach that when the month of Av begins, we minimize our joy, celebrations associated with a mitzvah are permitted in order to express our appreciation of the positive nature of the 3 weeks. We should take every possible opportunity to celebrate such occasions. On each of the first 9 days of Av, for example, one can celebrate the festive conclusion of the study of a Talmudic tractate by conducting a siyum, building the Beis HaMikdash. Our emphasis on the positive dimension of the 3 weeks should also motivate us to intensify our study of the laws governing the construction of the Beis HaMikdash. doing so, we'll focus our attention on its building rather than on its destruction. That's so interesting. When God revealed the structural details of the future Beis HaMikdash to the prophet Yehezkel, he told him, "Tell the people of Israel of the house and measure its design." Yehezkel, as our sages relate, replied, "Master of the universe, why are you telling me to tell Israel of the form of the house? They are now in exile in the land of our enemies. Is there anything they can do? Let them be until they return from exile. Then I will go and inform them." God answered, "Should the construction of my house be ignored because my children are in exile?" The study of the Torah's description of the Beis HaMikdash is deemed equal to its actual construction. I'll say that again. The study of the Torah's description of the Beis HaMikdash is deemed equal to its actual construction. That is really quite astounding. Go, tell them to study the form of the Beis HaMikdash, and as a reward for their study, I will consider it as if they had actually built the Beis HaMikdash. It's totally astounding. One of the 613 mitzvahs of the Torah is the commandment to build a sanctuary, and its fulfillment is incumbent upon every Jewish man and woman. It is clear from the above midrash that by studying the laws of the Beis HaMikdash, a person fulfills his obligation to build a sanctuary, for God describes this study as the building of my house. Just a little bit more. A similar concept is expressed in the Rambam's choice of the verse, "Seek out the welfare of Jerusalem. Those who love you shall find repose," as the introductory verse of Sefer Avodah, the Book of Divine Service. This choice implies an obligation to seek out the welfare of Jerusalem and to concern ourselves with the structure of the Beis HaMikdash, even though we are at present incapable of actually constructing it. Though these concepts were known in previous generations, they are of much greater relevance at present because there is a difference between studying laws pertaining to a mitzvah one is about to perform, and studying a theoretical subject. We should study the laws of the Beis HaMikdash with the anticipation of a bar mitzvah boy learning the laws of tefillin. For in the very near future, we will actually participate in building the very structure we are studying. This kind of study will serve as a catalyst to uncover the positive dimension of the 3 weeks. And then we will merit the fulfillment of the prayer, "Rebuild your house as in former times and establish your sanctuary on its site. Let us behold its construction and cause us to rejoice in its completion. May this take place in the immediate future." Just astounding, really. His clarity, his way of teaching. All right, so that was... let's see where I put that. Up here, yeah. That was Revealing Hidden Love, Making the Beis HaMikdash a Reality, Rabbi Menachem Schneerson, in the book Timeless Patterns in Time. Okay, so let's see. I think we're going to go to, yes, Im Tirtzu, Dan Nichols, and 18. I want to say it's WMFO Medford. You are listening to The Voice Mobile. I'm your host, Joyce the Voice.